This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The nation honoring those who've served in the military on Veterans Day. These ceremonies at Arlington National Cemetery, where President Biden said the nation's most sacred obligation is
prepare those we send into harm's way and to care for them and their families when they return home and when they don't.
At least one Veterans Day ceremony postponed because of dangerous conditions. That's in Passaic County, New Jersey, where wildfires are burning near the border with New York. These fires blamed for the weekend death of a New York State parks worker. President-elect Trump continues to fill out his administration. Multiple sources tell ABC he's expected to make his longtime advisor, Stephen Miller, deputy chief of staff for policy. He played a key role in immigration policy in the first Trump term. And the wait continues to learn which party will control the House of Representatives. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Many in Richland County voiced their choices in the recent general election November 5th. The county had a 94% voter turnout. Four of the 22 municipalities had a 100% voter turnout. The least voter turnout was one municipality, hitting 70%. The Donald Trump J.D. Vance ticket carried the county with all but four of the municipalities for a 5,207 to 3,982 win. 135 votes for the presidential ticket were scattered among eight other parties. The Republican Party also carried its candidates in the various races throughout the county. For the U.S. Senate, Eric Hovde received 4,910 votes to Senator Tammy Baldwin's 4,112. In the congressional race, Derek Van Orden received 4,868 votes to Rebecca Cook's 4,180. In the state Senate race, Joan Baldwin received 5,016 votes to Sarah Kieski's 4,021. And in the assembly race, Tony Kurtz defeated Julia Henley 5,560 to 3,467. As temperatures begin to drop, keep an eye and ear out for signs of a natural gas leak. Those signs could include the smell of rotten eggs, a hissing sound near appliances, or visual cues like blowing dirt, bubbling water, or discolored vegetation. You should also keep exterior vents clear of snow and debris to avoid gas buildup in the home. If you smell gas or notice any of these signs, move to a safe location and call 911. Wisconsin's Move Over Law requires drivers to provide a safety zone for law enforcement. Emergency responders and maintenance vehicles stopped alongside the road with their emergency lights on. DOT says you can also avoid secondary crashes by being an attentive driver. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Jaylen Brown calls Giannis a child. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks lost to the Boston Celtics 113-107. In the second quarter, Giannis Antetokounmpo went over to the Celtics' Jaylen Brown, extending his hand for a handshake, then pulled it away to run his fingers through his hair. After the game, Brown was asked in the Celtics' locker room about the fake handshake.
Giannis is a child, you know. I'm just focused on helping my team get a win.
Giannis says he was just having some fun.
It's a joke, you know. We're playing basketball. It's something that I do to my kids. Play around, you know, sometimes I'm like, give me a high five. Hope you're too slow. I just did it. It was fun. He took offense to it. Why do you say that?
He was asked about it after the game, and he said, Giannis is a child.
You know, if I'm called a child, yeah, so be it.
The Bucks are now 2-8. They host the Toronto Raptors tomorrow night. College hoops, the Wisconsin Badgers rolled over Appalachian State 87-56 at the Kohl Center. The Badgers now 3-0 on the season. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project. Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail, and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Don from Milwaukee.
I enjoy your show. Right now, at a time like this, you are great therapy for me. I don't know what I'd do without you guys.
We enjoy you as well. That's the importance of civic media and this platform. And Sandy and I take this seriously. We're going to continue to do whatever it is we can to make sure that people like you continue to get your voices heard.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next, Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, is in the host chair for the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide through the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh along with Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Monday, November 11th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is also Veterans Day 2024. To all of those who have served in the past, who wear the uniform now, we thank you. We appreciate you. And if you're watching on the stream on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter X, whatever other platforms are out there that we're on, you'll see the American flag over my right shoulder in honor of all of you. Again, our American flag should not be partisan, should not be owned by any one party, any one person. It is a flag for the entire United States of America and worn proudly by all those who wear the uniform. So thank you for your service and good afternoon, Mr. Zommers.
Good afternoon to you, too. And yeah, happy Veterans Day. Thank you for your service. Thanks, Dad, for your Navy service.
There you go. Your dad's a Navy vet. That's awesome. That's amazing. My maternal grandfather was a veteran as well during the World War II era. I believe so. And all those people in our lives. You know, Greg Bach was filling in for Pat Kreitler this morning on Up North News Radio. Greg Bach always doing great work. And he told this very touching story of, I believe it was an aunt who had just passed away at 102. And wow. All these years, he did not realize until she passed that she had served in World War II.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, a lot of our American heroes who see the worst things and do the most talk about it the least.
Which makes perfect sense.
Right. Right. So, again, we appreciate you, and please say thank you to a veteran. See anybody wearing a cap that has their service on it or what have you, please say thank you. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Veterans Day today, coming up at 12:30. Now, see, this is exactly what we want. Our friend Dan Schaefer, political editor here at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. I think after last week, Sommers, we all need a little recombobulation.
I think we're all pretty discombobulated.
Did you do anything? Did you have a nice weekend?
Yeah. Went back to Manitowoc to see my family. We did some family pictures, something we haven't done
in a long
time.
That's right. What did you wear?
I wore a knit shirt and a flannel layered over it.
Was everybody in flannel then?
Not everybody was in flannel, but it was coordinated. Like my dad and I both had flannel. Gracie, my niece, had like a plaid skirt that matched the flannel.
Oh, nice. Very good.
And everybody else had sweaters that like similar colors.
Very cool. I am looking forward on Wednesday. Our friend Trivi Olson from the Lincoln Project joins us as per usual. Very excited to ask him if they have taken their Packer
Christmas photos and if he wore the Packer onesie.
He better wear the onesie.
Hopefully he had a great weekend as well. Oldest godson, Alex, and his girlfriend, Keegan, were unexpectedly in town. They came up for a wedding, and they said, hey, do you want to have Friday fish at New Glarus? So I said, absolutely, I want to have fish at New Glarus. So I went down to the beautiful New Glarus down there and had a fine, fine meal of fried fish and all kinds of great stuff. Alex's dad, Kurt, showed up, and a good time was had by all. As my former teacher, Kel Lewis, is fond of saying, it was a great, great way that I just chilled. Lots of things on the to-do list around the apartment, laundry, organization.
Recombobulating in your home.
Recombobulating in my home, and none of it got done. I just sat and vegged, spent a lot of time reading and kind of analyzing, self-analyzing, trying to digest this election. If you did not see it last night, would highly encourage you to dial up 60 Minutes last night, the leadoff story by Scott Pelley. And in great journalistic work, Pelley and his crew got on a plane and went to Bethlehem, not Israel, but Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and talked to a lot of voters and talked to a shopkeeper, a restaurant owner there, who was raised Democratic, voted for Trump this time, and for her, it was all economics. And again, take it in its entirety. And I'm not here to tell you, I think, oh, this one piece by 60 Minutes answers all of our questions. I'm coming to the belief that there is no one answer. If you disagreed with the results on Tuesday, you can't just say it was X. Or even if you wanted Trump to win, you can't just say it was boom. Without one thing.
Saying X is funny for that because that did play a role. Being Twitter.
Well done. Well done. I did not think of that before I spoke. I think it's nuanced. I think it's complex.
Yes, absolutely.
And so what I'm trying to do is just be self-evaluating. I still, everything I said and I talked about prior to the election, I still believe those things. But I think it's healthy to say, okay, how were other people hearing what I said? What other media were people consuming? How did that help them arrive at their decisions? And moving forward, how can I be a better host every day for people? How can I invite more listeners in and feel comfortable while still maintaining my principles and the things that I believe?
And serving the main message, which is tell the truth and do it with integrity.
There you go. That's North Star. So I spent a lot of time in reflection. Dan Schaefer is going to talk more about this at 12:30. And we're going to be talking. I don't want to come on and do a whole show today on reflection. In terms of the election, I think it's better to kind of parse it out over the next few days, give us little doses at a time that we can easily digest. But there was one line, and I'm going to paraphrase this in the 60 Minutes story last night by this restaurant owner in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And she made the point that, look, there are people out in this area that we care about LGBTQ rights and we care about women's rights. But at the end of the day, we're trying to pay the rent and we're trying to put food on the table. And it's not that we don't care about those other issues, but we're looking at what affects us every day. Now, other folks might disagree with that view, and that's fine to disagree. But I think it's important we recognize that is a view, and that may help in part, key phrase in part, explain what happened, why what happened. So I'd encourage your 60 Minutes Scott Pelley last night, the first story from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I thought it was informative, to say the least. Again, Dan Schaefer coming up at the 12:30 mark. Couple of headlines for you from today. Less than a week after the election, President-elect Donald Trump's transition team quickly working to fill key roles. Yesterday, it was announced that Tom Homan, who served as acting director of ICE in his last administration, will be in charge of the nation's borders. He also offered Republican House member Elise Stefanik the job as the U.S. ambassador to the UN. Now, this is interesting. Mike Pompeo, who served as Secretary of State for a stint in Trump's first term, and also Nikki Haley, who served as UN ambassador under Trump, but of course challenged him this year for the presidency, for the nomination. Pompeo and Nikki Haley were informed via Truth Social, in true Trump form, that they are not going to be in the administration. So what, you know, here would seem, just pointing it out, that perhaps what some people may say are more reasonable folks like Mike Pompeo and Nikki Haley were essentially told you were not loyal enough during the campaign and thank you very much, but I won't need you. Here's some, there were others though, who were told you're in like Flynn. A headline as of a couple of hours ago here, according to CNN and other sources, Trump expected to announce Stephen Miller as deputy chief of staff for policy. President-elect Donald Trump expected to announce in the coming days that Stephen Miller, his top immigration advisor, will serve as White House deputy chief of staff for policy. Two sources familiar with the plan told CNN. Again, Miller was the one that put together much of the mass deportation plan during Trump's campaign, and now Trump is rewarding him with that. Also, Susie Wiles, who has had links in the past investigated for Russian ties to Putin and served as Trump's campaign manager, very loyal. Susie Wiles was named to be Trump's chief of staff in the new administration. Last Tuesday, and of course I have to be careful, FCC compliant. Don't worry, Mrs. Zomers. Tuesday was the mess around part. And now we are entering the find out part.
Yes, we are.
We're going to find out, for better or worse. There's a great line in Primary Colors, Kathy Bates' character. You've heard me talk about this movie before, 20-ish years old or so, based on the book Primary Colors, originally by Anonymous, and later it was a woman who had served in a campaign, I believe, for Clinton. It's based on the 1992 Democratic primary, Bill Clinton. And Kathy Bates' character and another character are going to Miami to find out whether some dirt about the opponent is true, some seedy dirt. And Kathy Bates' character turns to the other guy in her truck as she's driving down to South Miami, and she says, "Well, Henry, this is a test of us, or of them, of us, and them again." So there you go. Because when the rubber meets the road in politics, campaigns are full of rhetoric. But it's where the rubber meets the road. So we're going to find out. We are in the find out part. Mess around on Tuesday. Find out down the road. So that's what's going on around the world. Also, in the House of Representatives, they are Republicans hoping to seize unified control of Washington. But the balance of the House of Representatives still undecided. So far, the Republicans have clinched the presidency and flipped the Senate. But an estimated 1 million votes are left to be counted in House races, mostly in California. Republicans are now 4 seats away from holding on to the majority, while Democrats are 13 seats away from taking the chamber. Meanwhile, Democrats are analyzing the election loss after the Trump won all 7 of the country's battleground states. Nevada and Arizona were called over the weekend. That means that Donald J. Trump swept all 7 states. Remember when James Carville was on the show here last week?
Yeah.
Remember he said, he goes, "I don't think it's going to break 5-4. It's going to go like 7-0 or 6-1.
Yeah, he did say that.
He was right about that. Wrong about which way we thought it would break, but right about that part.
Which makes sense. I mean, the campaign was basically the same in all those places, and people seemed to be reacting similarly.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're going to come back, mention an interesting factoid about Veterans Day, and then be joined at the bottom of the hour by our friend Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor. Don't go anywhere. It's a Monday edition Veterans Day of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Worthington, Minnesota continues to shine. It's worth a look. We've expanded so many things. It's a time of growth. We've expanded recreation activities with our indoor ice arena, our indoor turf rec center and playground, and our outdoor water park, Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. Our schools have expanded, and so has our industry. We're continuing to expand our population also, with lots ready to build on Glenwood Heights. So let's grow together in Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Jeannie from Eau Claire.
I am thankful for Civic Media, the on-air talent, the technicians, the producers, the new staff, and especially Mr. Sage Wild. It's a very, very sad, shocking day for me, but I still have hope because I have hope in you guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Jeannie. You give us hope. Appreciate you listening.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Pursuing truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Tyler Ball Show on a Monday here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Mr. Zomer is on the board, 21 now, past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along with us. Interesting, Dan Schaefer coming up at the bottom of the hour here, talk a little bit more post-mortem on last week's election. Look back, try to get, again, I don't think it's one answer, but Dan always helps us recombobulate and give us some things to chew on. I think that's an important thing right now. We have to take all this information like a cow in the pasture, chew your cud.
I'm also looking forward to hearing Dan's take because he on Twitter has been very vocal against a lot of the pundits' takes. Like, here's why this happened. Here's what it is. Like, just definitive answers. And he's like, yep, we're going to hear a lot of bad takes. and his reflections are based, okay, just from the facts, what can we say for certain about Wisconsin?
Right. No, I think that's absolutely appropriate. I'm going to spend some time throughout the show today talking about different aspects of Veterans Day. Have the flag up behind me here if you're watching on the stream in honor of all of our veterans. Here was an interesting note. And again, probably would have been nice to have this come out a couple of weeks ago. But according to TheHill.com, veterans homelessness drops to record lows. Veterans homeless rates have dropped to a record low since detailed counting began in 2009. The Biden administration announced today on Veterans Day. In January of this year, officials counted 32,882 homeless veterans, a significant drop from recent years and a 55.5% decrease from 2010. Let me say it again. That veterans, although there are still 32,000 plus homeless veterans, which is 32,000 plus too many, but in recent years, there's been a 55.5% drop. They cut it in half for the numbers in 2010. The number of unsheltered homeless veterans also decreased from 15,500 in 2023 to 13,851. The numbers shared by the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, and U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs indicate increased efforts to reduce the veteran homeless population have started to pay off. Last month, the VA announced it housed close to 48,000 veterans, following a housing first approach of prioritizing housing for veterans and then offering them services they need to stay in shelters. VA Secretary Dennis McDonough said the U.S. is, quote, making real progress in the fight to end veteran homelessness. We still have a long way to go, but we will not stop until every veteran has a safe, stable place to call home, he said. The White House also released a fact sheet this morning touting the reduction of the number of veterans homeless, along with other efforts that the Biden administration has taken to help the population, including improving disability claims and increasing access to child care. I think it's important to pause, reflect, recognize that some progress has been made, much more to go, but progress is being made. I have not talked enough on this program, and I intend to fix that in the months ahead. And we need to get more folks in from the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs and talk about programs that help place veterans in jobs. Hiring veterans is one of the, not just the coolest things a person can do, but also the most beneficial for a business. And oftentimes, veterans already come with a work ethic, which they gained through their military service. Tend to be on time, tend not to be absent, good listeners, follow directions, great work ethic, camaraderie. And oftentimes, our veterans get out of full-time service. And I think we forget, I mean, what the military provides for people, and I've seen this firsthand in my days working as a congressional staffer with military folks, it's a family. It's a family. And when you're not in that every day, when you don't have that regimen, when you don't have that purpose, suddenly you're on the civilian side and you're like, now what the heck do I do? And it's very difficult. And this is why some veterans fall into drug use or addiction. Others deal with homelessness. Others deal with PTSD. And while I'm thankful the Biden administration has made strides in this, and quite frankly, there's been a bipartisan effort in Congress to help on this as well, I think it's important as we move forward into the next at least 2 years, we have midterms election, but at least the next 2 years, that we keep advocating for our veterans on a bipartisan basis, that we keep bringing subjects up, areas of need. How can we help in our own community? Like I say, if you're someone who owns a small business or heck, a large business, think about hiring a veteran, giving them a chance. And I'll promise you, you will not be sorry. In our local communities, what are we doing to, as this article says in The Hill, provide child care for veterans? Mental health access, for everybody, right? But in particular, veterans. As I've said in this program many times, I don't have a lot of regrets in life, but one of them is that I never served in the military. And in my eyes, in my view, from having the privilege and the opportunity to see a little bit behind the curtain and be with our men and women, both in active duty and reserves, and seeing what they sacrifice for us, and quite frankly, in my opinion, what they still are underpaid, and in some cases, the tough conditions they have to work through, but they do it because they believe in America, and they are there to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, and to be there to do what a lot of us don't do. So they have my undying respect, my undying appreciation, and my unwavering thank you for the veterans. If you have the opportunity, hire a vet. Get involved in your community. Give when you can. PJ off of the YouTube channel says, my late paternal grandfather was U.S. Navy, and my paternal granduncles were Army and Air Force. There you go. We'll invite you to call in a little bit later on the show. Give your story. If you are a veteran, call in and tell us about that. If you have somebody in your family or a friend who's a veteran, we'll love your calls. Not right now, but a little bit later on in the show. Right now, get yourself ready. We're going to recombobulate with our very own Dan Schaefer on the other side. It's the All Balls Show for Veterans Day, along with Zommers. It's here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Some possible changes coming to the United States Postal Service that may leave rural residents out to dry. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report, and Congressman Tom Tiffany is here to explain what some of the problems may be with the USPS changes that may be coming soon.
You know, let's say a farmer that's using the mail yet to send bills or whatever, does a bill get paid late? And that farmer ends up paying late fees. We've heard stories of, you know, the Postal Service delivers chicks in some instances. And we've heard of stories where there's been delays by the Postal Service that those chicks have died. I mean, it's those type of things. And I've really heard it here in northern Wisconsin in regards to some of the periodicals like weekly newspapers and others where we've seen significant delays. And that is a serious problem.
Tiffany says that these USPS changes may save the Postal Service $3 billion a year, but it will come at the cost of rural Wisconsin. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at those midday markets right after this.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Now's the time to get right with Pivot Bio Nitrogen. The right source, at the right rate, at the right time, in the right place. Sounds good, right? And now is the right time to act. With zero payments, zero interest, and zero worry. Until December 1st, 2025, on the best source of nitrogen. Get right with Pivot Bio. For more information, visit PivotsProvenIt.com. That's PivotsProvenIt.com.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Now let's take a look at those midday markets from Chicago. As we take a look at the grain markets, it looks like the upward trend we saw at the end of last week has stopped. December corn is down 4.25 at 426.75. January soybeans are down 7 at 1023.25. November soybeans for 2025 are down 12 cents at 1040.5. December wheat is down 19 cents at 553.5. July 2025 wheat is down 19 cents at 586. Classroom milk contracts are on the upward, though, as December contracts are up 22 cents at 1929 a hundredweight, and January contracts are up 8 cents at 1921 a hundredweight. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We've got a cold front dropping through the state today that's whipping our winds up feisty, gusting around 40 miles per hour. With partly cloudy skies and crashing temps throughout the afternoon, we've got to slap at least a 5 to 10 degree wind chill on top of the cooler air. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 48.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on the second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dr. Kristen Lierley will be here at 11:06. The woman is a fountain of positivity. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
a fifth dimension, beyond that which is known to man.
Milwaukee's best.
It's a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity.
Hey, man, what about Milwaukee, man?
It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition.
I think God would want us to go to Milwaukee.
And it lies between the pit of a man's fears and the summit of his knowledge.
What do you think about Milwaukee?
This is the dimension of imagination. You are now entering the recombobulation area.
And welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, featuring the recombobulation area. Todd Michaels, that interview never gets old. It's one of the most fantastic things ever created in this company, in my opinion, and it all forms around one person, the great Dan Schaefer, the founder of the recombobulation area, now part of Civic Media, and proud to say he is our political editor as well. He joins us live via StreamYard from the aforementioned beautiful, fantastic city of Milwaukee. Dan, welcome back.
Good afternoon, Todd. What an introduction. It's always such a treat. Hearing that clip of Bobby Portis saying, "What about Milwaukee, man?"
Right.
It always makes me smile. But
me too.
Always a treat to join you here on the Alba Show.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time. To say there's a lot to recombobulate would be an understatement. You wrote a great piece. People can find it at civicmedia.us and also the recombobulation area, which, of course, is a part of Civic Media. Make sure you subscribe to the recombobulation area. Headline, 10 takeaways from the 2024 election in Wisconsin. I only wish we were not on terrestrial broadcast radio governed by the FCC. I'll clean it up for radio. Dan starts out by saying, well, crap.
went with a very concise two-word lead there.
Yeah.
For this particular column, we'll have many other words throughout it, but yeah, that's the start. It happened again. Donald Trump won again. The votes in Wisconsin were the ones, as they were counting, that put him over the top.
Right.
Yet again, it's not great. It's not great, Todd. But I think there's a lot we can learn from the results from last week, from, you know, how some of these shifts happened, where the trends exactly are. And I think kind of the first point that I made in these 10 takeaways was that Wisconsin nearly defied this national red wave election. Because if you look at, you know, all seven of the swing states, of course, were won by Donald Trump. The closest of those seven happened to be Wisconsin, of course, right? We have to, for whatever reason, stay right as the closest, most evenly divided state in the nation, where Donald Trump won once again by less than a 1% margin. So now we can continue the statistic that I point to over and over again, which was before the election, four of the last six presidential elections decided by a less than 1% margin, and now five of the last seven presidential elections in the state of Wisconsin decided by a less than 1% margin, the other two being the ones with Barack Obama on the ballot.
Right.
As much as this was a big win for Trump across the nation, you know, the Harris-Walz ticket did best in Wisconsin. And I think that is an important thing to recognize, you know, even as there was like a Republican plus six, I think, national shift from 2020 to 2024 in Wisconsin, it was only about a point. And so I think there are a variety of reasons for that. But I think it led to the kind of split ticket outcome that we saw with Donald Trump winning by a 0.86% margin and Tammy Baldwin also winning by a 0.86% margin. How Wisconsin is that,
right?
Exactly?
Right. I mean, we're back to Evers Johnson voters. I mean, maybe not the same voters, but that same type of split ticket result. And I know that kind of like confounds a lot of people. I want to top off your piece just for a second. I mean, it relates, but I was talking to a couple of people about this over the weekend, that 78% of K-12 public school referendums passed in the state on Tuesday. 78%,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which means voters went and voted to raise their own taxes to support local public schools. I can't wait for the map that shows those districts and then an overlay of Trump voters. And you and I both know there's going to be a lot of people who went to the ballot box or the voting booths on Tuesday and voted both to raise their local property taxes, support of public schools, and voted for Donald Trump to end the U.S. Department of Public Education. And I find that fascinating. And to me, it's like, okay, how can we talk and listen to that voter and what was their thinking and what can we learn from this?
Yeah, that's such a great point. And I'd be interested to see, you know, kind of how that maps out. I've been looking at, you know, there's a map that my friend John Johnson from Marquette University did, mapping on where Tammy Baldwin did slightly better than the Harris Walz ticket in Wisconsin. You know, a lot of Western Wisconsin, a lot of, you know, Fox Valley to a certain extent, Milwaukee, even she ran a point or two ahead of the Harris Walz ticket. And so I think that's going to be interesting. And the referendum piece, you know, I think people they're voters are complicated, right? You know, there's never any one line to draw from all of this. You might have a lot of, you know, ideology can get fractured in a lot of places. People might be, you know, like you said, voting to raise their own property taxes while voting for a president who has, like you said, promised to make a whole lot of change to education at the federal level. And so, you know, kind of drilling down in some of this, Todd, I'd be interested in your thoughts on this piece of it too, given given some of your background. But one of the places that swung most towards Trump in this election was in southwestern Wisconsin. You know, 68 of 72 Wisconsin counties shifted to the right. Like I mentioned before, some of the places where those shifts, you know, towards Harris were in the WOW counties. I think, as I mentioned in the piece, some of the Fox Valley and Green Bay places held serve in a lot of places. But in the southwest corner of the state, that is when you saw some of the biggest shifts from 2020 to 2024 in Trump's favor. So, you know, I looked at Grant County, which was about a 6-point shift in the corner, a very corner of the state. And that's a place, that's a county that voted for Barack Obama by double digit margins both times he was on the ballot. And it was a county that voted a majority for Janet Protasiewicz in the 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court election, obviously not that long ago. So what do you make of that part of the state in particular shifting?
Boy, if I had all those answers, Dan, I'd be a wealthy man. I tell you, I'd be a top advisor, right? No, I appreciate the question. I mean, for those that might not know, I grew up there in southwest Wisconsin in Richland Center, halfway between Madison and La Crosse, and worked for Dale Schultz, of course, for a number of years, who was a state senator in that area, ran a lot of campaigns for the 3rd District, the 2nd District, which at various times have encompassed that part of the state. I don't know, again, that it's any one answer. I would say a couple of things. In Grant County, you have a tremendously long-term popular assembly incumbent, Travis Tranel, who grew up there and is very well-liked. He ran very strongly against the Democratic candidate there. And I have to say I was really disappointed in some of the things I heard Travis say last week. You know, one of his mentors is my former boss, Dale Schultz. And Dale was someone who worked very closely with people for, say, wind turbines in Montfort, Wisconsin, to bring down energy costs, solar farms. Dale was very pro-alternative energy. And I heard Travis was attacking that last week, say, well, last thing we need is a bunch of windmills and acres of solar farms. That's the last thing we wanted to look at out here. That's completely antithetical to the conservation Republicans that people like Dale Schultz were. So I'm not sure you know, Travis has just gotten on the Trump train on this. If it was just, you know, as they say, when the wolves howl, you better howl with them. I don't know that. But I also think that, again, trying to think about this in large terms, perhaps Democrats need to think about how they're talking about things. I'll point to myself first, not as a Democrat, but as an independent. I'm someone who, again, is pro-environment, I guess you would say, pro-alternative energy. One of the shows we're working on is to try to get folks from the Judas Priest, the Sandhill Almanac out there. What's the place out
Aldo
there?
Aldo Leopold.
Thank you. Oh,
that's what it was.
A mad cow moment. Sorry about that. The Aldo Leopold Foundation, and they're celebrating a big anniversary. And I think that we can talk without compromising what principles like people like you and I might have that are quote unquote pro environment. You could talk about, you know, that conservation and something that's done in a bipartisan fashion, the Lower Wisconsin Riverway. And that's messaging and things that, well, I like to canoe, I like to kayak, I like to hike, I like to hunt without using the progressive talking points. We get to the same spot, but one of those messages is people get abrasive when they hear that in my part of the world, and the other one is more open. I don't know. That's just my thought.
Yeah, I think that you're on the right track there for sure, and I think it is part of how we talk about these things too, right? And I think it is, you know, it can be a bit of a messaging issue and a communication problem where it has to fit into a certain narrative, and I think that's what the Trump campaign has been successful with, not in their policies when Trump was president, but in the rhetoric and what they're trying to convey in a narrative sense about, you know, the political system being broken and wanting change. And I think this was in many ways, you know, a change election. And we saw that across the country, and people just were not buying what the Democrats were selling, even if there were a lot of underlying, you know, indicators that, you know, that there was some real success from the Biden administration over the last 4 years. But there is a disconnect there. And I think it's going to be important for Democrats to invest in this part of the state and figure out how they can kind of stop the bleeding here. Because, you know, as these shifts indicate, this isn't really slowing down anytime soon.
Right.
So some of these, you know, 10-point margins, 20-point margins that could be in Republicans' favor right now, those could move to, you know, 25, 30, 35-point margins if Democrats aren't careful. And I think what this election has partially showed is that there is still room to grow for Trump and for Republicans in rural parts of the state.
I think that's super cogent and perceptive. What do you think about this, Dan, that I know a lot of people don't, on the left don't like to hear this, but I do think it's perception, right? You know, this perception is reality. That's an old adage. And there is definitely a perception. Again, I'm not saying this is the reason, but there is a perception that the economy for the everyday mom and pop person is not doing well. And this is something I talked about in 2016 when I said, look, you know, there are a lot of people out in my part of the state where I'm from that, you know, they're not anti-gay or they're not anti-environment. But, you know, in Madison, we talk about, well, we need a rapid transit system and you know, a lot of and none of that's necessarily wrong. Right. Those are fine ideas and fine things to aspire to. But there has to be an understanding that in other parts of the state, that's just not their reality. They're just looking to have good roads and be able to put food on the table and go to work. And it's not that I'm not going to say there's nobody, because clearly people have, you know, racist type of feelings, that type of thing. But I don't think that, what do you think? I don't think that everybody that voted for Trump is a racist, misogynist, terrible person. I just don't.
No, I agree with you. And I also have to, you know, this is a place that Barack Obama was really successful in the state too. And I think part of his messaging that I think has to a certain extent gotten lost in the years since he was president is just talking, you know, kind of approaching things as an outsider, approaching things as wanting to recognize that the political system that we have is broken and wanting to change that. And, you know, to the extent that he was able to do that in the 8 years he was president, you know, mixed results, I think, on a lot of fronts within that. And I think there is still going to be that appetite. And this is something that came up when I was reporting on the long extended feature story that I did in the Fox Valley, where there is going to be an appetite for somebody who is from outside the political system and is saying that, like, this is broken. We need to bring in some. We need to start doing things differently, and you know, to the extent that Donald Trump is the solution to those problems, you know, we lived through 4 years of his presidency, and I don't think that he really delivered on a lot of those promises. But I think again, it gets back to that rhetoric. It gets back to that narrative that he is selling, and that people are saying that there is this economy, this political system that does not work for me. And so I want something different.
Dan, can you stay around for one more segment? You got time for us?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. I want to come back. I want to talk about a couple of things. One, you call it a light in the darkness, Tammy Baldwin winning. Maybe dig down that for a second. But also this take on, and I think this is incumbent upon me and even maybe regular listeners of the show, that there are a lot of people that just don't listen to the same media, and this rise of niche right wing media that certainly, in my opinion, had some kind of an effect on this outcome. We'll come back, talk to our political editor, Dan Schaefer. We will recombobulate further. I'm already feeling a little bit more tranquil anytime Dan's around. You come on back as well. It's the Todd Allbowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point. And they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already is.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tattleball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network at 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, is joining us live. Great article on the Recombobulation Area and at civicmedia.us by Dan over the weekend. 10 takeaways from the 2024 election in Wisconsin. Want to go quickly, Tom, in Sauk County, holding on the line. Tom, if you could be brief, but what do you got for us?
Hi. Well, my thought is that one thing is being missed, and it shouldn't be, is that the Democrats need to come to their senses and come to a middle point with the Republicans on abortion. And if they do that, I think they'll have a better chance of winning in the future, because if they keep on the way they are, the rural vote, and especially the Hispanic vote, I think that's one of the reasons they came out, is to show displeasure for, you know, easy abortion is how the right sees it. And I think the left needs to come to a middle point and say, well, yes, we want to be pro-life and pro-adoption, and I think it'll make a real difference. I've not been hearing that, because when you watch Kamala's, you know, things going on, it's one of the things she's talking about over and over is abortion. I don't think a lot of people are for it as much as what a lot of people would like to think.
Appreciate the call, Tom.
And that made a difference, negative.
Appreciate it, Tom. Dan, quickly, your thoughts on that. It appears, although facts are, you know, figures still coming in, it appears that that was not the driver to the extent that the Harris campaign and Democrats had hoped.
Yeah, I think so. But I think when you look at a lot of the, you know, kind of state level politics, mm-hmm. when this is going to referendum with it, when this is being decided at the state level, it's still very much siding on the pro-choice end of the spectrum when it comes to abortion rights. So I think right. that is, you know, obviously there's a lot of nuance and complexity in this particular issue.
100%.
I think this issue, probably Democrats had a stronger message on it. At the end of the day, I think Republicans had a difficult one. And I think the part of the reason Trump is successful here is because he's just a constant moving target on this issue, when people can kind of assign wherever they want to be on the spectrum of this, whether it's, you know, appointing, you know, anti-abortion judges or having a little bit more social moderate type of policies that he kind of expresses in his own right.
I want to get this quickly. I think it's really important. And there's been a lot of talk over the weekend. It's taken some fire on social media platforms. We're getting some stuff on our YouTube page. It's coming particularly from Democrats that there is this theory, I'll call it a quasi-conspiracy theory that the election was stolen, and people are going to myvote.wi.gov and saying that, well, my vote wasn't counted. I did that. My vote from the fall primary is counted. It says specifically on there it's going to take 45 days to do this. I think we're in this Amazon mindset, right? That oh, I ordered it this morning. It should be here by tonight or tomorrow morning at the latest. That's not how our election databases are set up. And Dan, what are your thoughts on this? I don't think there's anything to it.
No, this is it's ridiculous to suggest that there was, you know, some sort of problem with the vote count or anything like that. Look, Trump won this election. Mm-hmm. It's plain and simple. And I think, you know, it's incumbent on all of us to respect the results. You know, I hope the Senate, the Republican challenger in the Senate race will respect those results and concede his race.
Right. Yeah, Eric Huffney has yet to concede.
But I think these conspiracies that are flying around on the left about Elon Musk or right. about Starlink. Any of this nonsense, it is complete nonsense. I mean, and has nothing to do with the reality.
I appreciate it only in the sense that I get people are so agonized and frustrated, confused, like, how could this happen? You're stretching for any sort of explanation beyond he just won. And here's the important point, Dan, you know this, in Wisconsin, none of our voting systems or machines are connected to the internet. You can't go in and right. and wipe away stuff. It just is not a thing. Let's talk quickly about a couple of wins. One of those, Tammy Baldwin, and the other one, the state legislature. For Democrats.
Yeah, I don't know. How many times in the last week have you said to yourself, well, at least Tammy won, right? For me, it's quite a few. This was obviously the closest reelection campaign that she has had to mount, again, in a red wave year. But in almost all of Wisconsin's 20 biggest counties, Baldwin ran between 1 and 3 percentage points ahead of the Harris-Walz ticket. I think that is kind of, you know, the political science nerds will tell you that incumbency advantage amounts to about a 2% advantage. Mm. So, you know, that was enough to carry her over the finish line. And ultimately, I really do think it is wonderful that despite a red wave election that Tammy Baldwin still won. I think she is a terrific public servant. I think we are lucky to have her representing Wisconsin for another 6 years. And I think there is something to be learned from why she is able to be successful in more rural areas and does better than other Democrats in rural areas of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I mean, she gets the job done, great constituent services. And we've talked to the show before why she connects. About a minute left to let you go wherever you want.
Yeah, you mentioned the state Senate. The state Senate is a real bright spot for Democrats in this election. There were 4 races that were kind of in the close and toss-up territory, and Democrats won all 4.
Right.
And so they, by winning all 4 of those races, they have put themselves in position to have an opportunity to compete for the state Senate majority in 2026. So they job well done, a real bright spot amid a frustrating night in Wisconsin. But state Senate Democrats, you know, democracy is built from the ground up, and it is these type of successes that can really change things in the long term. And so wins by the win by Jody Habersenek beating Dewey Strobel in particular really stands out as is probably the biggest win of the night for Democrats in the state legislature.
Very quickly, you're reporting Robin Voss stays Speaker under Republican control or no?
I think he probably does. Yeah,
he survived. He probably does. Rock and Robin. That means we'll have more episodes of What's Poppin' with Robin Voss. That'll be fantastic.
There you go.
Dan Schaefer, you're amazing. We appreciate your time. Appreciate your thoughtfulness. Great article at Recombobulation Area and at civicmedia.us on the 10 takeaways from this election. Dan, thank you so very much.
Thanks, Todd. Be well.
Always a pleasure. Dan Schaefer, ladies and gentlemen. If you're on the line, stay there. We'll take your call after the top of the hour news. It's the All Ball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, we're all about Madison as I welcome comedian Johnny Beaner back to the show, and then WMDX morning show radio legends John Peterson and Gordy Young join the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
It is absolutely disgusting for conservatives to suggest that because someone is poor or struggling, that they lack judgment. If anybody needs morality policing, it's rich folks, for crying out loud, not people who are struggling to put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.